the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, I feel like I'm fighting against myself, Christy. I just can't communicate sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it happens to all of us.
Yes, well, happens to me more often than I like. But anyhow, you know, on a previous broadcast, we were talking about the law, God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And I got bogged down a little bit trying to explain something. It's going around the bend.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, got lost. Well, I didn't get lost, but I don't feel like I was communicating well. And then, you know, the producer cut the stuff off. No, he has to, because
we have the time.
Our broadcast is only like 30 minutes or so. But I just want to pick up where we left off. Now, I don't want to give like a 3-4 week theological lecture.
That would be boring a little bit,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, not
it'll be fun for some people.
Well, sure, for some. And see, not that I'm against a theological lecture. I do that.
Yes.
Different context.
Mm-hmm.
But this is talk radio.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Fast-paced.
Fast-paced. And if you're not listening to us on talk radio, it's a podcast.
Yeah.
But we do deal with a little bit of theology here and there. But I was just, let me just tell you what I was trying to get at, and then we'll wade back into our topic.
And hopefully wade back out.
And hopefully, yeah. Part of the problem is we were trying to cover like 2 or 3 theological issues and merge them into one, and I don't know that that's going to work. But that's what we're going to try. So it's like I said before the broadcast, we're just going to wade out into the surf.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let some waves crash on top of us, and then we're going to try to swim out of it, kind of like you alluded to a moment ago, okay? So, anyhow, you know, God gives Adam and Eve a law, right? Don't eat from this tree.
Yes.
Okay? Now, they didn't have the old covenant law. Am I right?
You're right.
I mean, they didn't have to worry about whether or not they could eat barbecue or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the garden. They're eating plants, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because of the old covenant law. Didn't have to worry about clothes.
Right.
They didn't have any shame or anything like that. I'm just saying. Now, but there were some things they couldn't do, but it really hadn't entered the picture yet. I mean, they weren't allowed to murder.
Mm-hmm.
But God, you know, anyhow, I'm just making a point. So God gives them this law. They break this law. Don't eat this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And don't eat from it either. I don't know why I said it like that.
It's all right. Move on.
So they break that law, they're condemned to death, because it's God's law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they should have died physically, but they didn't, because God was merciful. They did die spiritually, but God was gracious. We talked about that. Now, between Adam, you know, you got a bunch of other people that come into the world, right? Adam and Eve have a bunch of kids, and, you know, people, it all multiplies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go over time. Now, Paul is very clear, for example, in Galatians 3, you know, you didn't have the old covenant law until Moses came along. Everybody understands that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But in Romans chapter 5, one of the things that Paul says is that between Adam and Moses, death reigned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says, you know, where there is no law, sin is not imputed. But nevertheless, death reigned even over those who sinned in a different way than Adam sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that God gave Adam a law. He broke it. Death is the result. There's some other people, you know, between Adam and Moses. They broke laws and they died. But it wasn't the old covenant law. The old covenant law was given to the nation of Israel by God through Moses, mediated through the angels there on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
and death reigned if you break that law. But the only point for the moment, and you look like you want to say something, the only point that I'm making for the moment is that in the garden, you have a different you have one codification of God's law. Between Adam and Moses, you have a different codification of God's law. Under the Old Covenant, you have yet another codification of God's law. Once the Old Covenant is fulfilled in Christ, now we're under a new covenant, we have a different codification of God's law. Meaning what? What do I mean by codification? Meaning that some laws are in force and some laws are not.
Mm-hmm.
But through it all, there is a transcendent law that's always in force that is strictly related to the reality and the essence of who God is, His nature. And one example of that would be you can't murder because God's not a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Essential dignity of human life. Everybody's creating the image of God. If you murder a man, you're essentially attacking God. I'm just using that as an example. You can't steal. Adam wasn't allowed to steal, you know. Didn't really apply in his context at first, but even after the fall, you weren't allowed to steal. In other words, that's against God's law. But before the old covenant came, after the fall, before the old covenant, here's a good example. You could eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
You could eat a pig, but you can't. But the Israelites couldn't eat a pig. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. So Presbyterians, for example, or those who adhere to covenant theology, when they come to the Old Testament, they understand what I'm getting at,
mm-hmm.
and even when they come to the nation of Israel, they break the law up into three categories, and they talk about the civil law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law, and that transcendent law that doesn't change for most Presbyterians is what they call the moral law.
Right.
So at one level, that's what I'm talking about, the moral law. I just don't like to use that terminology, because the Bible doesn't use that terminology, number one. And number two, when you make a distinction between the law, you get these covenant theologians who want to say, well, in Christ, he fulfilled the ceremonial law, and that's done away, but the moral law and the civil law is still in force. Other Presbyterians would say, well, no, Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law and the civil law, but the moral law is still in force, as if it's the moral law of the old covenant.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, look, that's just not how the Bible, that's not how Paul, the apostles, that's not how they talk about it. When they talk about the Old Covenant law, they're talking about the law. Ceremonial.
As a whole.
Thank you. Ceremonial, civil, and moral. And that entire Old Covenant law was fulfilled in Christ, such that the entire law was done away. It's no longer in force or binding on any of us as the Old Covenant.
But that doesn't mean that there is no law.
Of course. The law of Christ is the law for believers today. And, of course, God's transcendent law. I mean, even people who are not believers are going to be condemned for breaking God's law. Well, what God's law? Well, the law written on their hearts, Romans chapter 2. Is that the Old Covenant law?
Right.
No. It's God's law. That transcendent law, what the Presbyterians call the moral law. Now, I know even saying all that is confusing. All I'm saying is, as New Covenant believers, we're not under the Old Covenant, nor are we under the Old Covenant law. We're under the New Covenant, and we're under the law of Christ, which means we're not antinomian,
mm-hmm.
which means we believe that sin is sin, sin is bad, sin is real. Christ died for our sin and all that, and even though we're saved by grace through faith, we're not supposed to sin, and we're violating God's law when we sin. Well, what law? Well, that transcendent law as well as the law of Christ. Anyway, does that make sense to you just sort of listening to me?
Yes, that does make sense.
Questions or comments? Additions or deletions?
Well, no, because I agree with you, so.
Good, because you agree with the Bible. That's good. I like that. I like people who agree with the Bible.
I mean, I guess how did we even get on this topic?
We were talking
about a passage in
Colossians. Yeah, let me come back to that. Colossians 2. Hey, you know, for those who can't remember, we referenced Romans 5, we referenced Romans 2, we referenced Galatians 3. Hey, just off the top of my head, I'm coming out with Bible. Coming out.
Good for you,
coming
man.
Coming out. All right, now Colossians 2, here's what it says. Paul says in Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, In other words, spiritual circumcision. We're saved. Now, Paul's
circumcision of the heart.
Circumcision of the heart. That's right. Paul's using Jewish terminology. All right? So, come along, fast forward, verse 13. He says, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, Christ has made alive, or God has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, watch this. And here's what we're talking about. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, the question is that we were talking about, well, what is the handwriting of requirements that was against us? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that that's the Old Covenant law. And the reason I say that, you could extrapolate it and say, well, sure, in a sense, it applies to that transcendent law or the moral law. But specifically, in context, refers to that Old Covenant law. Now, why do I say that? Well, number one, Paul is using Jewish language. It's in a Jewish context. He talks about the circumcision of your heart and the handwriting of requirements. What else could that be but the Ten Commandments? It's what God had written on the tablets of stone. And when you contrast the Old Covenant to the New Covenant in Jeremiah 31 and in Hebrews chapter 8, you know, it talks about the difference. One is the law is written on stone. That's the Old Covenant. New Covenant, law is written on your heart.
Right.
So the context of the New Testament, the context of the covenants, this Jewish context, this Jewish language, this obvious reference that the Jews certainly would have understood. But not only that, the whole point of Christ's coming was, yes, he was coming to fulfill the promise that God made to Abraham, which applied to Jews and Gentiles. All who are of faith are children of Abraham. And so the cross work that Christ did is for Jews and Gentiles. It's for everyone. But essentially, Christ was born under the law. When Paul says Christ was born under the law, what law is he talking about? Is he saying, oh, just the law in general? The moral law? No, he's talking about the Old Covenant law.
Mm-hmm.
He's born a Jew. Born under the law. And what did he do? He fulfilled the law. Every jot and tittle. That's why he came. He fulfilled the law in a way that you and I couldn't. And the way the Jews couldn't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to the cross and died on the cross, he was fulfilling the law. What law? Galatians 3. Curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Right? So he took the penalty of the law. Does that make sense? And so when he was raised up, when he died, it is finished. He atoned for the sin of his people. He fulfilled the law. He had no sin of his own. Death couldn't hold him, and he was raised up. In other words, my point is that if you look at the context of the New Testament, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Covenant law. And now, the Old Covenant law that was against even the Jews is taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. You're free in Christ if you believe in him. And guess what? Gentiles, same thing, because Christ paid for all sins, whether we're talking about the specific Old Covenant law, God's law in general. I'm rambling. Your eyes are batting. You're going to sleep. I don't know. Am I making sense?
Yes.
I fought the law. The law won. But when Jesus fought the law, he won. But thank God for Jesus. Let's talk about it after the break. Stay tuned.
For a parent to raise a child in a home where they're teaching them Christian values, basically they're rebelling against the culture that they currently live in.
That's Dan Cosby, a certified addictions professional. He'll share the challenges of bringing kids back from addiction and fighting against the culture to do it on the next License to Parent.
License to Parent every Monday at 11 a.m. on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help. I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-553-1851. 800-553-1851.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-553-1851. 800-553-1851.
Did you know that people born from 1945 to 1965 have the highest rates of hepatitis C, but most don't know they're infected? People can live for decades without symptoms, but over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage and even liver cancer. If you were born from 1945 to 1965, the CDC recommends that you get a blood test for hepatitis C. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
We are Christian Talk 660.
Well, that's why we praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't fight the law. The law's against us, but Christ, He fulfilled it, nailed it to the cross, took it out of the way. Right?
Right.
Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's grace. That's good news. That's called gospel. You believe it?
Yes.
I believe it too. Hey, let me tell you something else. This is going to utterly amaze you.
Okay.
It is. Because if you look at this Colossians 2 text that we're looking at, you know, you and I were wondering, oh, what about this language, the handwriting of requirements that was against this? And you had some sort of translation. And look, I'm all about the new translations.
It actually was an old translation.
Oh, really? What was it?
Well,
I thought it was ESV.
NASB.
Oh, NAS. You going to call that old?
It's older than ESV.
It is older than ESV. That's true. But it's newer than the King James.
Right. But we're not King James only people.
King Jimmy. No, we're not King Jimmy only. That's true. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. I'm all about textual criticism. I've actually collated Greek manuscripts. I don't act like it on the air. You know? I shouldn't even say that because it'll sound prideful. I'm not trying to sound prideful. I'm just saying I've had some fun with some Greek manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm well aware of Metzger, and I'm well aware, you know, all the stuff, the Alexandrian text type, the Byzantine text type, the early manuscripts, the late manuscripts. Understand all that, okay? I know all about Bob Tietzo. Now, that's an inside joke. Only some people very close to me will get that. So, anyway, here's my point with all that, though. Whatever your translation was, NAS on that one, I like the NAS. I've preached from the NAS many, many times. But the translation on that was just wrong. They didn't get it right, even in the Greek.
Because all translation is interpretation.
All translation has a degree of interpretation. That is exactly right. I mean, you can't trust your Bible. You can read the NAS and you can trust it. But, well, what about some of these translations, NAS versus, you know, whatever I'm reading? I don't even know what I'm reading out of here. Oh, the New King James. That's the best. I'm New King James only. No. I'm kidding. But, you know, context is king. That's
right.
The point. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know how preachers are. We love to pull out the Greek and impress people. I rarely quote the Greek. Because, look, am I going to say it's not helpful from time to time? No. I think we need Greek scholars. I'm not one of them. All right? But I benefit from them. But at the same time, I want the person in the pew to know, you can trust your Bible, and you don't have to be a Greek scholar to read it and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to love God, pay attention to what you're reading, compare Scripture with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let Scripture contradict itself. Let the Word be your authority, not your opinion, not your feeling, not your experience, and exegete, that is, interpret a text in its context, because in the end, context is king.
Right.
Right? And so, check this out. Right when Paul talks about the handwriting of requirements that was against us, it was contrary to us, it's taken out of the way because Christ nailed it to the cross, and he disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In other words, you know, Christ triumphs over Satan, the demons at the cross. The very next verse, what does he say? So, therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Now, tell me what he's talking about there, just in general. What's he talking about? I'm going to blow you away with two things here.
He's talking about the Old Covenant?
Yes! You got it. Old Covenant law. Woo!
Good.
Yeah. By the way, I'm hitting you cold with this so the listeners know. You have no idea where I'm going, what I'm talking about.
I don't know
about.
If they know that, but
well,
usually
I'm telling
that's
you.
How it happens.
Yeah, that's right. No briefing before the show. I'm like this guy that I used to be in the real estate business before God called me in the ministry. This guy built houses. I say, how you doing? He say, man, I'm great. I'm just running down the road, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. That's what I do.
No,
huh?
Literally, I came in here and said, what are we talking about? And you said, well, you'll see.
That's right. You'll find out. Stay with me. It's kind of like the old Andy Griffith show, Briscoe
yeah.
Darling. Do you
oh,
remember
I don't,
that
I
old
don't know
show?
Who that one is.
Andy and Barney and Opie yeah, yeah. and Aunt B. And anyway, the Darlings would come down. Folks that lived in the hills, Gary remembers them. They had a band. The boys were pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlene was kind of sweet on Andy till she married old Dub.
Oh.
Yeah, well, she should have married Dub.
Andy was not nice. A lot
well, at least not to her. He liked dumb. Helen in the end. Helen Crump.
Well, anyway.
Briscoe Darling blew on the jug while the boys played the guitars and the banjo and the... That little thing, what's that little thing?
Did they have a mandolin?
Mandolin, thank you. And Briscoe blowing that jug, but he'd start them off. He'd go, one, two. Anyway, he'd say, I can't remember exactly what he said. Gary, maybe you can help me. But he'd say, just grab a chair or grab something and hang on. See, I blew my line. Anyway, that's what I say. Grab a microphone and hang on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm wasting the time. I hope I haven't lost
their
all
old
my
covenant.
Listeners.
Therefore, no one is
so,
to act as
well,
your
anyway,
judge.
That tells you that Paul's
context.
Talking about the old covenant, the old covenant
right.
law, right?
Yes.
All right, now that's my first point.
Okay.
But here's my second point. Now this is really going to blow you away.
Okay.
Not because there's like this biblical revelation. Well, actually, it is a biblical revelation, but it's more practical and more contemporary.
Okay.
So let no one judge you in food or in drink. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, it don't matter. The old dietary laws, don't let anybody, you know, judge you regarding a festival. That's an annual deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or a new moon. That's a monthly deal. Or a Sabbath. That's a weekly deal. Now, I know there were other Sabbaths, you know, annual Sabbaths. But when he breaks it down, festival, new moon, Sabbath, he's breaking it down annual, monthly, weekly.
Right.
So that brings us back to Sabbath.
Yes.
Don't let anybody judge you on that. But you know what it takes us back to, even beyond that? Lent.
Oh, wow. We just connected like 12 shows
that's
all together
right.
in one.
You see, our discussion.
The regular listeners
yeah,
will be rewarded.
Yeah. I'm going to try to maybe put these shows in a row if I can. Some of them were recorded literally 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of them was, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but it was after Lent recently.
You forgot to observe Lent.
I did.
Anyways.
So, I'm going back to something one of our callers said, whom I appreciate very much.
It was Gene.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to mention his name, but there you go. Now I got to say some bad things about him.
In case they remember and wanted to know, well, who is he talking about?
Yeah, I'm not going to say bad things about him. He's a sweet brother, and he made some good points, and we acknowledge that.
Yes.
However, what got us on this discussion, this is what you asked, I think it's before the break, I don't even know. Is that we were talking about Lent. Somehow we segued into what they're doing over in the UK with the Sunday laws.
Right.
And you're like, isn't that nice? No, it's not nice. It's a violation of liberty. But anyway, doesn't mean I don't think families need to spend more time together. I just don't believe the government ought to force that.
Right.
If I don't want to spend time with my family.
Wow.
I know, it's a joke. I do want to spend time with my
family.
That was
so funny. I forgot to laugh.
It's just like I forgot Lent. So anyway, what we were trying to get at is that first off, Lent is not in the Bible, so it's not one of God's holy days.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Paul says, don't let anybody trouble you about God's holy days. Why? Because they're fulfilled in Christ.
Because they're a mere shadow of what is to come, and the substance belongs to Christ.
Yes! That sounds like a Bible verse.
It was.
Was that the next verse?
Colossians 2:17.
Nice. And what's the principle?
The principle is...
Once the substance, once the reality is here...
You don't need the shadow.
Don't go back to the shadow. Now, what's all this business about, well, one man observes one day, Romans 14, and, you know, above another, another man observes every day alike, let each be convinced. Well, this business is you're in this transitional period. And there's an accommodation to the Jews who just couldn't get past, you know, oh my gosh, I got to worship on the Sabbath. Okay. But you know what? This is 2,000 years later. Get over it.
So, do you think, again, are you saying
that? Sounded ugly. I didn't mean
yeah,
that
was.
Ugly.
Are you
no,
saying
I
that?
I didn't mean it to be. That was meant to be funny. It didn't come out funny. Go.
Are you saying that people who do observe the Sabbath are wrong? Or?
Yes.
In sin?
No, I'm not gonna go that far. And you say, well, if they're wrong, isn't it? Here's my point. The Sabbath.
So you're saying Romans 14, does not apply to that?
Well, this is the problem. That's a good question. What I'm saying is that on the one hand, yes, it's a liberty issue because you have Romans 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if you think that God requires a Sabbath observance,
that's legalism.
You're wrong. Yeah, and it's sin to say that because Romans 14 doesn't say that, right? Romans 14 says you can observe it or not. So if you observe it because you like it or whatever, you just, okay, I want to set a day, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to impose that on others, that's not okay. That's legalism, right?
Right.
We good there?
Legalism is adding anything to the requirements of salvation.
Well, that's one, way to look at it, but it's more than that, but okay. But
basically,
but man-made rules, yeah.
And saying they're required by God.
Yeah, sure.
To be accepted.
Sure, that's right. Okay, I'll go with that. You're right. So, what was your question? Oh, Romans 14. Now, what I'm saying is, though, that New Covenant believers today, sure. I guess where I'm having trouble is if a New Covenant believer 2,000 years later says, well, the Sabbath, see, there's a gray line. You can't say the Sabbath is there. You can't say there's such thing as a Christian Sabbath. You can't say that. That's wrong.
Hmm.
You want to say, well, I'm going to set one day apart. Okay. But what do you mean by that? I'm just saying, you know, Paul says, let each be convinced in his own mind. Obviously, that's authoritative. But there again, it has a context. And you ought to be a little more mature than that by now, is what I'm saying. Because those who observe the day are dubbed the weaker brother in all those contexts. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying what the Bible says.
Okay.
So not in sin, but you need to mature a little bit. Is that okay to say that?
Perhaps.
Guess what? We're going to talk about it one more time next time. See you then.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.